Welcome. I wanted to begin today taking stock of where we are as a church and really thanking God for seeing us through what we all hope is the worst of the COVID-19 pandemic. And I'm fully aware that the virus will probably always be with us, but I'm so thankful for the vaccines and medical treatments that are available to us now that weren't there a year ago. We're truly blessed to live in a country like ours. But let's not forget the poor, both here in our country and also around the world, that are still suffering from this pandemic. We're evaluating much here at church right now and how we're moving forward, and it's reminded me of how much we shifted our ministry over this last year, and it required a lot of learning and a lot of innovation. We really started off in March of 2020 with four priorities: to protect the health and well-being of our congregation, to utilize technology as much as possible, to equip our congregation to care and minister to one another, and as always, to preach hope in Christ. And most everything we did this last year fit those priorities. One of the things that we're looking at right now is how we divided our congregation up into what we call NCGs, neighborhood care groups. And originally, we didn't know how bad this pandemic would get, and we thought we might need localized people or appoint persons in different neighborhoods to extend immediate care to those in need. And so these groups, and especially the leaders of these neighborhood care groups, rose to the occasion. And I can't say thank you enough to our neighborhood care group leaders who have hung in there, who have written hundreds of notes and cards and made deliveries to doorsteps all over North Bend and the Snoqualmie Valley. Thank you for doing that. You know, much of this was really the human touch point for us as a church through these cards and little token gifts that were left on doorsteps. And it was a reminder that you're not alone, that others are thinking and praying for you. And this last year, Pastor Angela soon invented a new way of doing children's ministry too by creating her own subscription box. And they included the Bible lessons that normally would have been taught in Sunday school each week, with activities and crafts and devotional ideas that kids love. And her thinking was, you know, if you can't bring your kids to Sunday school, then we'll bring Sunday school to you. And this has been a resounding success. Hundreds of these boxes are made each month and sent out, and parents love them, especially, parents love them too, but kids especially love them. They appreciate being equipped to help grow their children's faith, and that's the way it should be. And so these were just two of the things that have really served their purpose and that we're evaluating right now if they continue or what they look like coming this fall. You know, as society shifts back towards in-person meeting, we're shifting too. In fact, this July, we anticipate a host of new guidelines coming from Washington State. We're excited to discover what fully open means. And I know all of you are too. And while this is a priority, you should know that for the last couple months, Pastor Angela and I and the rest of the church staff have been planning something else for July. Rest. Yeah, we're going to be out of the office or on vacation for most of the month. And it just so happens that our vacations and all these new guidelines are kind of hitting at the same time. And I'm sharing this because Angela and I are aware that it's a time to move full speed ahead. But your church staff has been moving full speed ahead since March 2020, and really at double time since January of 21. So we need a time of rest, so that we don't fizzle out by fall. And that said, we have an amazing lineup of guest speakers and preachers over the next month who will be sharing God's word and also how it's intersected with their own life. And our summer series is titled Have Confidence. First, we can have confidence in God that He shows up when it matters most. But one thing that may come as a surprise is that God also has confidence in us. Or maybe another way to say it is that He puts His confidence in us. And when we embrace that reality, God's Spirit can help us accomplish extraordinary things. Well, last week we saw this in the person of Joshua. This week we're going to see it in the person of Gideon. Now, Gideon was a leader in Israel before the time of the kings, and Joshua had led the people of Israel in conquest of the promised land. And after his death, God would periodically raise up leaders that we know as judges. They were judges of God's people. And most of the time, the need for a judge was the direct result of Israel's failure, like their failure to follow God and obey his commandments, so that bad things would start to happen. And it was really cyclical. It happened over and over and again. The people would be close to God and would stay intentional about cultivating their relationship with him. And over time, and we're talking about decades and even a generation, over time, people would start to drift away. And when you drift long enough, you start to forget why that particular relationship is important in the first place. You find yourself willing to do all sorts of things that aren't godly, or you simply turn your back on God altogether. Believe me, this isn't just an ancient Israelite problem. This is a human problem, and it happens still today. Last year, one of the best things to come out of the pandemic was the stark reminder that church isn't just a building we enter once a week. It's a group of God's people who are connected, growing, and working together for God's purposes. You know, we spent a lot of time apart, and we did our best to, given the circumstances with Zoom small groups, youth groups, Bible studies, men's breakfasts over Zoom, that's interesting, women's baking, we had coffee with the pastors, we did virtual foyers and even online Sunday worship. And I was simply surprised by the fact that there were people last year that I met and got acquainted with online. I had never met them in person before. You know, this online world works and it's super convenient. But there's just no substitute, in my opinion, for meeting in person, especially as it impacts our faith. Well, of course, we're going to continue offering Sunday worship services online, but we have no plans of becoming an online-only church. And I highly encourage you to make attending church in person a regular habit once again. And I know I just said like a minute ago that I'm going to be gone in July on vacation. I know many of you will be gone too, and that's needed. But you also need to be intentional about worshiping God with your church in person. And that rhythm helps sustain our relationship with Him. You know, the longer that you or me are out of that rhythm, the tougher it gets to return to it. And that's when you start to drift away from God. It's just like ancient Israel. I've seen it repeatedly in people's life. You know, I'm going to belabor this point because that's what pastors are paid to do, right? But also because it's so important. We live in the Pacific Northwest, and it's like the sun just finally came out here in several weeks. There's so much to do on the weekend. There's camping season over the summer. There's fishing season in the spring, summer, fall, there's hunting season, ski, snowmobile season. There's an endless, you know, menu of outdoor adventures. And then there's Seahawk season and all the youth sports that happen on the weekends year round. Believe me, I like all those activities. In fact, I do most of them. But as a family, we make an effort to sustain the rhythm of worshiping with God's family too. And I know there's a little window of opportunity that we all look at in the lives of our kids, you know, for them to develop as a soccer player or a baseball player or whatever. But this is also mission critical time, formation time in their own spiritual journey, and they need to be with God's people. And that's going to continue a lot longer than their life as a soccer player. All I'm saying is, don't stay away from church for too long, whether it's because of the pandemic or whether it's some activity, good activity that you're involved in, because Satan is working overtime to distract you and me with other interests. And it's easy to start drifting away. Well, this is what happened to Israel in Gideon's time. They drifted. They forgot and turned their back on God. And as we find in Judges 6:1, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. During this time, it was bad for Israel. I mean, they suffered under these people called the Midianites. They began to cry out to the Lord for help. In verse 7, we pick it up again. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me." Well, this kind of sounds like a parent giving a talking to one of their kids. But let me draw your attention to that last part. "But you have not listened to me." And let me ask you this. Is God listening to us? Yeah. Even when we aren't. Even when the ancient Israelites were not. And that's the first reason that all of us can have confidence in God. When you're not listening to God, He's still listening to you. Let me say that again. You know, you and I can have confidence in God because when you're not listening to Him, He's still listening to you. I can think back to a time in my life when I was younger and I wasn't listening to God. I kind of decided to do what I wanted to do, to pursue what I wanted to act how I saw fit. I didn't really listen much to God or live in a way that pleased Him. But what I noticed in that season of my life is that I became more self-centered. I had fewer friends, at least people I could actually trust. I felt more lonely in my life. I had more doubts about myself and the future. I thought I'd be more happy. But in the end, I was simply miserable. And it's not like I had stopped talking to God. I just wasn't really listening. And so after about a year of living like this, I decided to start something new, to start praying, to start listening, to start repenting. I was miserable and asked God to help me get back on track. I mean it. He heard me. Even when you're not listening to God, He's still listening to you. When you cry out to Him, He hears you. And as we'll see in this passage with Gideon, you may not experience immediate delivery from your circumstances. In fact, often we reap what we sow. But when you start listening to God, His presence and His power will start to sustain you. And even for people who are being oppressed or suffering at the hands of another for no fault of their own, God hears you. And the witness of God's people throughout generations has been to keep praying, keep crying out to Him, keep lifting up your prayers, keep looking to Him for your strength, your guidance, and your salvation. You know, God responds to this dire situation here in Judges chapter 6 by visiting a man named Gideon. This is verse 11. "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah, and that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite." You know, as a pastor, you should always read these passages and practice the names first before you read them publicly. But bear with me. "Where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'Pardon me, my lord,' Gideon replied, 'but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where were all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian.'" Verse 14, "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?' 'Pardon me, my lord,' Gideon replied, 'but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family? And the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. Well, when you read through Judges chapter 6 through 8 about Gideon, you get the impression that Gideon doesn't have much confidence, especially in himself. The Lord calls him a mighty warrior, but Gideon is literally hiding from the Midianites in a wine press. And this is like a huge cistern that was carved into rock or at least below grade in the ground so that, you know, he was staying out of sight. Maybe Gideon was pretty smart, but not so mighty, definitely not warrior-like. Well, then the Lord says, I'm with you. And Gideon says, pardon me, but if God is with us, then why has all this happened? You know, really a relevant question, but not full of much faith. Then the Lord says, I am sending you. And Gideon says, why me? I'm the weakest person in the weakest clan in the whole country. God seems to see something in Gideon, but it makes you wonder if God's confidence is a little misplaced. Like, where's Captain America when you need him, or in this case, Captain Israel? Well, what we learn from the choice, God's choice, really, of Gideon as a person, and also of others in scriptures, is that God is more interested in those who are available, not necessarily the most strong or capable, not even the most experienced or certain. You know, if anything, in Gideon, God was looking for a person who knew their own weaknesses and would depend on God all the more. See, there isn't a person alive who can't have confidence that God can use them no matter what. Write that down. You and I can have confidence that God can use us no matter what. God wants to use you to make a difference for Him wherever and in whatever you do. You don't have to be a pastor or a missionary to be used by God. You just have to be willing. I'm not sure that in this case, Gideon was even willing, but the Lord kind of talked him into it. You know, God says in verse 14, go in the strength you have. I mean, really, you look at the person of Gideon and we should feel kind of good about our own prospects. Amen. No disrespect towards Gideon, of course. He's just normal. He admits to being weak. He's inexperienced. He has doubts in his faith, and he's pretty uncertain about what God is asking him to do. Like, repeatedly uncertain. But Gideon has this going for him. Gideon knows that he belongs to God. I mean, he sees himself as, you know, I'm God's man. And that's what really matters. When you and I see ourselves as belonging to Him, that we're His men, that we're His women, that's what matters. And God can use you no matter what. Use you to be a godly husband, a godly wife, parent, child. God can use you to influence others for the good, to serve those in Christ's name. You know, we've all been through some dark and uncertain times this last year, and if I know one thing for certain, it's that we're probably going to face tough times again. I hope we get a little bit of a breather at least. But even so, God can use the most unlikely people to help change the situation for the good when the Spirit of the Lord acts upon them in power. You know, if we're willing to be used by God and obedient, there's no telling what He can do through our lives. So have confidence that He can use you no matter what. And finally, have confidence in God's guidance. What most of us remember of Gideon is that he asked God to confirm what He was asking him to do by putting out a wool fleece. You got it. And miraculously, he put out this wool fleece, and he was asking God to, you know, keep it dry or to keep it wet in certain circumstances. In fact, you know, Christians will still make the joke today when they don't know what they're going to do, that they're going to throw out the fleece and ask God to direct them. That's what it means, that God would miraculously show them what to do. Like, God, give me a sign. Well, I do want to encourage you this morning to have confidence in God's guidance. That's kind of the third thing. Have confidence in His guidance by throwing out your fleece. And I mean it, like, literally. Get rid of it. You know, throw away your fleece. Why? Because so often we want God to guide us and show us a sign for what we should do. But that's not actually what's happening here with Gideon. Gideon's problem isn't that he's unsure what to do. The problem is that he knows what God has asked him to do, and he's struggling to follow through with it. Sound familiar? It should. You know, we can all identify with Gideon. Finding God's guidance isn't so difficult. Our problem is often in obeying what He tells us to do. And you know, we have it much better than Gideon. Like, we have written scripture, the Bible. It's God's revealed word to us that we can read over and over and over again. We have the Holy Spirit who fills us and guides us and shapes our conscience. You know, you consider what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And then this in verse 2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed." You could also say metamorphosized by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you're looking for God's will, it comes from, you know, eating the scriptures and allowing the Spirit to renew and transform our minds. You know, eventually, over time, you just know what God wants and you're motivated to do it. One Bible commentator put it this way: "Clearly, the way of wisdom is to seek God's will through the scriptures in dependence on the Spirit, by using a renewed mind to work out God's priorities, and a renewed will to carry them out in His strength." And of course, this is not to say that God is unable to work through circumstances in our life to confirm His guidance to us, but rather, it's about our need for a sign is really more about our lack of follow-through than it is of not knowing what to do. So we can have confidence. Confidence in God. Confidence that God can use you and me no matter what. And we can have confidence in His guidance. These are things that He's laid out for us in Scripture, but also has prompted us to do through the power of His Spirit. And these are all things that we see in the life of Gideon, His servant. You know, I encourage you to read that story this week in Judges chapters 6-8. It's really a great one, but just keeping in mind the role of God as He guides and empowers and strengthens and gives Gideon confidence to do what He's asked him to do. So please join me in prayer. Lord, we come before You this morning and we're just mindful of the fact that you choose people like Gideon who maybe some of us would overlook because we judge by the wrong factors. We look on the outside, Lord, while You're looking at their heart. And you know, Gideon was a person who was willing to follow You and do what You asked. And I love the fact that it lives on in Scripture, just some of the uncertainty that he had. And that over and over and over again, You empowered him through Your Spirit. You gave him confidence. You helped motivate him to do exactly what he needed to do. And it wasn't on his strength or his power. It was definitely Yours. So help us to do the same thing. God, You've given us the Scriptures. You've given us Your Holy Spirit to know Your heart and Your mind and Your will, Lord. So help us to follow through with that in our daily life. And when there's circumstances, Lord, where we're unsure of what action to take or what to do, help us to remember to pray. Help us to remember to talk to godly brothers and sisters for advice and wisdom, Lord. Help us to follow through on what we already know of you and of your will for us. We pray this in your powerful name. Amen. Well, now hear this as this morning's benediction. It's from verse 14. The Lord turned to Gideon and said, "Go in the strength you have. Remember, God is with you. And no matter what you face, you can have confidence that He is enough." Amen. We'll see you next week.